The first reading you will find on page 1058 of the Pew Bibles, and it is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, and beginning to read at verse 54. Then, seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the cock crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Peter, a man broken. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are with us in every turn of the road in our lives. There is no time that you are not with us. You are here with us now. Open our hearts to you and to your word and to what you're saying to each one of us. And it's in Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. Amen. What do you do when you break an object that's precious to you? Do you replace it, if possible? Throw it in the bin, in pieces, perhaps with a shrug of the shoulder or shedding a few tears? Or do you get out the super glue and see if you can stick it together? Preferably so the cracks can't be seen. It still looks perfect. How do you handle the situation if someone you love has a breakdown? Or you have a breakdown? Monday evening, the early hours of Good Friday, Peter is a broken man. We can read these seven words quickly or stay with the emotion that they evoke. Verse 62 of our reading. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. He was a broken man. What had brought him to this? Remember, Peter was a Jew. From childhood, his upbringing had formed him to expect a savior. He was a fisherman, strong physically. You needed to be for this occupation. And also strong emotionally. The Sea of Galilee was and is a dangerous place. He had a brother. Think back to 3 years ago. Andrew, who in John chapter 1 verse 41, told Peter. Can you imagine? He's coming to his brother and saying, "Hey, guess what? We've found the Messiah. Let me take you to him. Let me take you to Jesus." Do you remember? Jesus looked at him. He looked at him. "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, Peter." A rock on whom Jesus said he would build his church. As Peter wept bitterly, That must have had a hollow ring to it. He did not feel like any rock. Jesus knew Peter through and through. And those of you who know Psalm 139 will pick up all those echoes of how God knows each one of us. He was one of the three others with Andrew and James, who were almost like the closest three to Jesus. And as you read the Gospels, you'll pick up that they had a number of experiences that the other nine didn't have. Jesus took them apart on numerous occasions. In Mark, when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" who was the one who answered? "Peter, you're the Messiah." But Peter couldn't bear to listen to Jesus telling him of his death. And he takes Jesus aside and he rebukes him, saying, No, this isn't going to happen. You're the Saviour. And it was then Jesus who rebuked Peter. In Mark 9, Peter witnessed the transfiguration. You remember? And he wanted to stay there. "Build those three little bodies and let's stay," he said to Jesus. But he was told, "No, we have to go back down the mountain." He was a brave man as well. Remember, he stepped out of that boat when the disciples saw Jesus walking across the lake towards him. They all thought he was a ghost. And he stepped out and walked on water for a short while. And he only began to sink when his eyes started to look at the waves and not at Jesus. Remember, he started to put up a fight on Maundy Thursday evening, didn't he, when Jesus was arrested. Remember, he sliced that ear off, didn't he? And he actually followed behind Jesus and the soldiers who'd arrested him. Do you remember in the reading that we just heard in verse 61? How again tells us that the Lord turned and looked. Looked, not just a casual glance, but he looked straight at Peter. "Before the cock crows today, you will disown me three times." Do you remember how Peter had been so insistent? He'd stick with Jesus to the end. That's what he'd said. But he hadn't. Did he weep bitterly? The dream of a saviour to release the Jews from Rome was shattered. He thought the days were leading up to this. The dream was broken. His confidence that he could handle any situation was shattered. He hadn't been able to keep his word to Jesus. He was not the man he thought he was. He denied his Lord. He could only weep bitterly. Can you be with Peter in a moment of silence in this experience? Maybe you or someone else close to you has been in this place or are in it now. A moment to be quiet. Who, O Lord, could save themselves? Their own soul could heal. Our shame was deeper than the sea. Your grace is deeper still. We stand to sing. Please be seated as Fred comes to read to us again.
And you will find the second reading on page 1090 in the Pew Bibles. It is from John's Gospel, chapter 21, reading verses 1 to 17. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I am going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there, with fish on it and some bread. Peter said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Who, O Lord, could save themselves? Their own soul could heal. Our shame was deeper than the sea. Your grace is deeper still. Peter doesn't know where he is, in lots of ways. And as often we find ourselves doing when we've had something, a shock or something terrible has happened, we'll return back to what we know. I'm going fishing. That's what I know. And the others are in the same situation. You imagine them saying, "Yeah, we'll go with you." But they caught nothing. Can you see a significance there? Fishermen, skilled, experienced, fished for years. Have they lost their touch? Or is there something happening they don't recognize? As they sail to the shore in the early morning, they see a figure on the beach. And this person calls out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" I wonder how they replied. No? No? How did they say no? "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." Now, this isn't the traditional way that they fished. They didn't fish on the right side of the boat. So when someone says to them, do it another way, were they going to resist? No. Perhaps they weren't in the mood for arguing. Who knows? But what happened? They couldn't pull the net in. There were so many fish. Do you remember Jesus' words? I will make you fishers of men. That's what he told the fishermen disciples, hadn't he? Verse 7. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Love has a deeper way of knowing. He sees this figure. It's the Lord. Imagine being in that boat and recognizing it's Jesus. Action man Peter, that's how I always think of Peter, action man. He wraps that outer garment around him and he jumps in the water. The rest are left to bring in the boat, towing this great net full of fish. When they land, there's a fire burning with fish already on it and bread. You find that interesting? That there's already fish and bread, which Jesus had prepared for them, all that was needful. What might Jesus be telling by this? Was he telling them and maybe us? Jesus says, bring some of the fish you've just caught. He doesn't say, actually, I have enough fish here, just forget what you've caught. No, he says, bring some of the fish you've just caught. Does this maybe speak of how God works? He has prepared, and we work with what he's given. Come and have breakfast. What an invitation. Come, eat. Doesn't that bring a remembrance to you in communion? Come, eat. Verse 12. Are you there on that shore? Stunned? Speechless? No one dare ask him, who are you? They knew it was Jesus, risen. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. Those familiar actions that Jesus, we read of Jesus doing in the Gospels. And he did the same with the fish. Can you imagine how Peter was feeling? The last time he'd smelt wood smoke was Maundy Thursday evening, when he sat in that courtyard trying to keep himself warm as Jesus faced his interrogators. Smells have a way of bringing back good memories, maybe disturbing memories. What anguish! What memories must have come flooding back to Peter? Three times Jesus asks him, do you love me? Three times he replies, yes, Lord, you know I love you. How many times had Peter denied he knew Jesus? Three times. Each denial is covered with his words of love to Jesus. Three times. Three times he hears his commission. Feed, care, my sheep, my lambs. Jesus knew how important it was for Peter to face himself, his brokenness, those painful memories that came flooding back. Now the memories are overlaid by their conversation, which is heard also by those who had been fishing with him and had also been a part of abandoning Jesus. Peter knows himself, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, and commissioned a new purpose. He is a different man. The Japanese have a method of mending precious broken china. It's called kintsugi, or golden repair, where a special lacquer is dusted with powdered gold, and it's used to join the broken parts. The cracks are still there, but now the brokenness mended makes this china even more beautiful. Very different to our Western approach, where we want to mend things so we can't see where they've been broken. The Chinese mend them with gold, so that where they've been broken, they become even more beautiful. Isn't this what Jesus is doing for his disciples? Their brokenness was filled with the gold of God's love, his mercy, his grace, and they will continue to grow and mature and be changed. The brokenness was part of the process. And that's hard to see at the time. If you've been through this process yourself, you know that while you're going through it, it's not easy. It's only when you look back later that you can see, in fact, the brokenness God has used to grow you into a different person. And isn't this what God does for each one of us now? We may not always recognize it, but wherever we've been broken, or if we feel broken now, there is another more precious repairing. That gold of God's forgiveness, of his mercy, his grace, his compassion. The scars may be there, but they are in fact beautiful. They are simply scars. Can be touched, there's no pain anymore. The scar has healed. In the silence, respond to the Christ who is with us now, here. Heavenly Father, may we know our brokenness covered with the gold of your grace. In the name of Jesus, our Saviour, we ask. Amen.